This morning's sermon is based on the epistle reading from Ephesians chapter 1. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Trust is an incredibly valuable thing. We all want to be able to trust people, especially those closest to us, our loved ones, family, friends. But trust exists between more than just a single person and a single person. It can work on bigger scales. For instance, the companies that we all buy food, clothes and other things from, they want us to trust them so that we'll return again and again and know that we can keep going back to them. But for the incredible value that we all place on trust, it is an even more fragile thing. I'm sure many of you have heard the expression that trust is built over a lifetime, but destroyed in a moment. We see this in the world all around us. Our court systems have entire legal processes designed for working with the breaking of contracts. Two people entered in trust into agreement, and now one or both no longer fulfill it. We see the same sad truth in divorce around us, as two people exchange vows to love and uphold each other, and then trust breaks down. And then we see it also in our politicians. We unfortunately have had the experience of many of them breaking their promises again and again, to the extent that a number of people no longer trust any of the politicians to do what they say. So, if there's so often broken trust amongst us as people, how is it that we can trust God to fulfill His word? Today's text has much to do with trust. We're given an impressive list of the things that God has already done for us. And then, unfortunately, with our human perceptions and minds, we don't see the results straight away. So we're also told why it is that we can trust Him to complete those things. Today we'll look at what God has done, which we find in the text, but I want to highlight something first from the prologue, if you like, to Paul's passage. Paul states that God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You see, these spiritual blessings aren't like the temporal blessings of physical appearance, wealth, intellectual ability. They're not the things that are handed out willy-nilly to some and not to others. These are the spiritual blessings. And to anyone who has received any of them, they receive all of them. So they're also not like the spiritual gifts that Paul talks about elsewhere for the blessing and building up of the church. No, these blessings are the great blessings, beside which all of the others can be considered rightly secondary. There are three blessings which God gives us that are mentioned in this text. First, He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, and He destined us for adoption as His children. The first spiritual blessing is that God chose us. We never deserved to be chosen and could never have hoped for it on our own merits. And before any of us should feel too superior for having been chosen, or feel fear or sadness, fearing that possibly a loved one has somehow not been chosen, let us turn to God's word, where He declares that God desires all to be saved. First, in 2 Peter, it says, "The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance." But even before the coming of Christ, God made His desire clear when He said in Ezekiel, "But if the wicked turn away from their sins that they have committed and keep all my statutes and do what is lawful and right, they shall surely live, they shall not die. None of the transgressions that they have committed shall be remembered against them. For the righteousness that they have done, they shall live. Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, says the Lord God? And not rather that they should turn from their ways and live. You see, we have a God who has chosen us, before we were born, to be brought into his family through his Son. The second blessing is exactly the fulfillment of God's choosing. Just like when you choose an item at the shops, you don't just say, I'd like that, and then walk off leaving it on the shelf. When you choose something, there is an action that happens. And here, it is that God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, has given us redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, so that in Christ we have also obtained an inheritance as children of God. You see, we have been adopted into the family of God, with all that is entailed with that wonderful news. You see, when God chose us, there was a problem. We were enslaved to sin. But the price was paid to buy us back from our master. You see, that's what redemption means. God, with the very blood of his Son, paid the price which we as slaves could never have hoped to pay for ourselves. Then, once God had freed us, he continued to pour out his blessing on us by adopting us into his family to share in his riches. You see, that is at its simplest the reason that Christ came and died. He came to pay the price because there was and is no other means of us recovering from the debt of our sin, being freed from our slavery to the master of sin, and coming permanently into the presence of God as his children. And since God chose us and we cannot redeem ourselves, he intervened and redeemed us. The third blessing is the one which touches on trust, which I rose before. Because you also were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, this is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people. But what does it mean to be marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit? These blessings remind me a little bit of a trust account. You see, I had a friend growing up who was badly injured in a car accident, and it was discovered by the judge that the driver was at fault, and he was to pay a volume of compensation to my friend. But my friend was too young to receive it. It was placed in a trust account for him for the day that he turned 18. I'm sure we can all imagine the paperwork required in such a process. But this single event changed my friend's life. I don't mean the accident and the injuries that happened, they had an impact on him. But this trust account also changed him. He had a security. He was sure of something. You see, he still went and got a job as a teenager and worked for some pocket money, but he wasn't stressing and worrying about being able to afford a car when the time came, or wondering how he was going to make his way through university, because he had this security. Now, it may not be a perfect analogy, but we can see here that before my friend received his money, he was chosen, in this case by the judge, to receive a sum of money which is far smaller than the inheritance we have in Christ. And the paperwork was the seal which marked this all as certain. You see, the money was his from the time the judge awarded it. But he did not receive it until the proper time, even though it changed his life from that moment. You see, we can be certain that we were chosen by God, and that through the redemption of his Son, Christ Jesus, we have an inheritance of eternal life, because we were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. We were sealed with this Holy Spirit in our baptism, at the font. We have parents, godparents, pastors, sponsors and baptism certificates, all of which can assure us of our baptism. And in confession and absolution, we can be reminded, both here in the service and also throughout the week, privately, that we were and still are redeemed from the sin which harries us. And at the proper time, we will receive the full account of that seal, just as Paul assures us in Philippians. He says, "I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ." Just like the knowledge of his financial security changed my friend's life, for us, there is no fear of the unknown when we know that God has redeemed us and made us his children. But the most beautiful thing about all of this is that it was determined that my friend deserved this compensation. He had a right to it. It was his. Whereas we don't deserve the inheritance we're receiving. We never will. In fact, the heavenly courts decided that we deserve the consequence of death for our sins. And yet God still chose us for adoption through his Son to eternal life. So in a world full of broken trusts, where we first broke trust with God, we can truly thank God that he has marked us with his Holy Spirit in baptism, so that we can know that he has chosen us and redeemed us for eternal life with him. That is truly the mercy and grace of our Lord. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.